what a joy to be able again to share with you the Christ life. We are absolutely, we look forward to this, just not just because we like one another and we love the Lord and we share the faith together, but because we have a chance to connect with you every week. And when we put the time into these and the energy into the preparation, there is the understanding in this that that there's a shared relationship, that there's a group of people whose hearts are warmed to the things of the Lord and specifically to the life that Christ is offering to us right here, right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But this is a piece of the big truth of the eternal life that God has offered to us and has provided for us. And so this is the series that we're in. It's called Big. And last week we dealt with the big picture, which is that wonderful overarching. If you haven't taken the time to listen to that one, you need to get into the archives and do that, because the things that Rich described of the sort of the flow of the future, and not just eternity past, but eternity future, it was just powerful. And it's every bit of it's true. And it's really hard to take any one piece of that. You could just talk for hours on end and discover stuff in the scripture about every little piece of that. But this is the reality. We are a part of an eternal plan of God, an eternal work of God, the God whom we know and serve and love and was given to us, the scriptures, has put us into this eternal relationship with him. He's eternal. He's created us to be eternal. And so knowing and understanding this big, huge picture then is supposed to create inside of us a big motivation, a big something happens inside of our lives. And it's right here in the scripture that we're using as a part of the series, as the foundation for the series. But let me read that scripture to you again, because I think this is a powerfully important truth. For the grace of God, this is from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, and training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Love that. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us, to buy us back from all lawlessness, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. It actually, in the King James phrasing, it's a peculiar people, you know, and it doesn't mean odd and strange. It means marked for a purpose. And the beauty of that is that the purpose for which we are marked has eternal consequences. It's a part of the eternal picture. It is a part of this big picture of how God is operating. He made us, as Rich said really well last week, he made us for this loving relationship with him, for this beautiful, perfect, unmarred by sin and distraction, this beautiful eternal relationship with our Creator. But sin comes in and mars all of these things. And so he's going to lead us to a place where there is an eternal, glorious opportunity for this wonderful relationship with him that goes on. And so there's the beauty of the eternal component of it. That's the blessed hope that it speaks of here and that we talked about a bit last week. That's what's blessed about it, because I know I'm on the right side of the equation. I know that for me, like Paul said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain, because you can mark my tombstone as a date that I died, but honey, don't believe it. I am not dead. I am going to live forever, and I'm going to live forever in the glory of God's eternal plan for my life. And so this is the reality and the hope that we have. But while we look for that blessed hope, there is an impact that happens in our lives right here and now. This does something to us because, you know, my future, when I make a commitment to Christ, when I receive the revelation of his mercies and his grace and his saving goodness through Christ, when he spiritually makes me alive and he births me into this eternal life, well, I'm good to go. And I'm not talking about eternal security here. I'm talking about I'm secure, though, for eternity, because I am in the eternal one and the eternal one is in me. And so there's this beautiful, glorious hope and this wonderful strength and faith and joy that comes into our lives. And it's just, it marks us right here and now. And it does make us just aware that's the glory that God wants for us, but he wants this for everybody. Every woman, every man, every child, every person of every age, every stripe, kind, size, color, every nation, every tongue. God's plan is that all of us, he wants no one to be lost. He wants no one to suffer the eternal judgment side. He wants everyone to experience the glory of the Christ life and of the Christ future that is a part of our lives. And so because of that, we have a sort of an opportunity right here, right now, to do something about that. It's the only opportunity that we have. And in fact, we have one of the Christ life, what we call value statements. There are five of them. But one of them speaks specifically to this understanding of time as a piece of eternity. Time is just this one tiny little piece of eternity. Maybe you've seen somebody do the illustration of a rope that's miles and miles and miles long. And in that rope that's miles and miles and miles long, there's about a 3-inch segment that's painted a certain color in the beginning of it. Well, that's like time with eternity. But because there is such an eternity, and because there are two sides to the judgment, you can be thrilled because the hope for you is blessed, or you can be absolutely jarred and floored because the reality for you is an eternal separation from God. That's a horrible situation. When you understand that, when we as believing people understand that, here's the value statement. Passion and urgency are the emotional result of understanding time and eternity. I get that. When you catch time as a piece of this eternal thing, the eternal consequence, the first thing you do is the passion part, you for yourself, because we're all first concerned more about ourselves than anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the steward of my own life. And so what do? I want to know Christ. If this is the opportunity, I want to know God. And I'm all in. I want to be secure in that. I want to be alive in that. I want to be, effective in this for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here I am. I'm all in. And so I have this passion for the Lord. And the beauty of it is it's an undying passion. It's an eternally fueled thing. It's not a well from which I go and draw some water and then hope it's still full the next time. This is an artesian well. This is a springing up inside of us, this flow of the life of God. But having secured my understanding and my place in eternity through the graces of Christ, I'm still alive here. And right here, right now, I have an opportunity. It's the only opportunity I have to preach the gospel of Christ, to talk to people who are lost people, who don't know the realities of the eternal plan, who overvalue time, even in the light of eternity, or maybe they don't understand anything about eternity. But this is my opportunity. This is my place right here and now. And so we are possessed with and we feel a rightful urgency right here, right now, to share this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ by our lives, by our teaching, by our love, by the realities of the relationships that we have with the Lord and within the Lord. And so as people who are living in the Christ life, we have a sense of passion and we have this wonderful sense of urgency that are a part of our lives. And it's all because we understand that we are living in the light of the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I love that. Time and eternity. There's the reason for motivation. We're given so much time and we know that there's a whole lot more than this time that we have now. You mentioned the cemetery. I want to go back to that just for a minute, because I would venture to say the majority of the people watching don't understand that even the way people are buried is based on an understanding of time and eternity. If you go into all across America, cemeteries that are Christian, they're buried so that when they rise up, their face is facing the east, because that's where the Lord's coming from. And so early on, they were motivated to understand that we have this time, but because of eternity, when Jesus comes back and the dead in Christ are raised first, we want to make sure that, you know, we've got it right, even to make sure that everybody's facing him when they rise up. I think that's pretty cool. I mean, that's some motivated people when they take and go, hey, we're going to even bury you correctly. Mm-hmm. And so in Titus here, there is a whole lot of stuff in here that if you're not really part of this big motivation, then this just becomes a big problem for you. But when you are really motivated, you're going to live with a passion for your life and an urgency for the lives of others. You just can't help it. You're going to be drawn that way. And we just want to give you three areas about motivation that can help you kind of do a checkup on really how motivated you are to buy time and eternity. Because if you're not motivated by time and eternity, that's going to mean nothing. But if you think you're kind of, well, let's just check it. Because the very first thing when it comes to motivation, you know that you're motivated because you're mindful. You're constantly coming back to this place of recognizing that I have this life. And so, here's what, when you start talking about time and eternity, here's where the majority of people get it wrong. They put it all in their head. Got to know when Jesus is coming back. Got to be able to discern the times of the time, the signs of the times. And not that anything's bad, but when it's all up in your head, you really miss the faith organ. The faith organ is not our mind. The faith organ is our heart. And the Bible says that we are to protect the heart from its here. All the issues of life come. That's the wellspring of life right out of our heart. Because when you believe that Jesus Christ is returning and he is bigger than your problem, he's bigger than everything that this world says it has to offer, then you're going to be mindful of him. You're going to be mindful of what he is doing and his activity. You're not going to be mindful of, you know, your retirement account 24/7. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a retirement account. That's not my point. Point is that people, they work 60, I don't even know what it is, 70 years. I don't even know what the retirement, according to our culture, is, that you work for these golden years of your life. And that's all they're mindful of. But when you understand time and eternity, now you're going, wait a minute, I can be mindful of the life that is yet to come. I can be mindful of that next season, the next part of life. So the very first thing is, how mindful are you of time and eternity, and then how mindful are you of your life within that belief?
That's awesome. Yeah, one of the words that gets underplayed a lot, and you mentioned it, that the organ of faith is the heart and not just the head. We're a very cerebral people. We especially in the Western world, we really value, and I'm not speaking against any of these things, but we really value education and knowledge and the accumulation of the facts. And so many people, that's their idea of what the faith is all about. It's just an issue of, you just got to know the facts. They sort of almost poo-poo the idea of emotional realities, you know, all that, or they put that at the feet of the Pentecostal people, you know, all you guys are just overly emotional. Hey, wait a minute. God, the Spirit breathed into the body of that was made from the dust of the earth, and we become a living soul. We become the reality, the living part of our lives isn't just spiritual, and it's not just physical. It's this somehow intellectual, emotional, you know, willful deal that's going on in the middle of all of this that we tend to underplay sometimes, because, you know, it's a let's not get too emotional about it. Are you kidding? There's an emotional response. This is the emotional response of passion and urgency when we understand that what time is compared to eternity. We have an opportunity here that we're never going to have again. We have a responsibility here that we're never going to have again. We're not going to overvalue this in the light of that. Why? Because that's huge. That's so much bigger and so much better and so much more grand. And you don't even have to be an old person to appreciate the new body. It's just a beautiful thing that God has provided for us. But when we understand it well, and when we really are captured by the concept, not just that we get it mentally, but we feel it inside of our lives, there is an emotional commitment. There's a mindfulness that happens to us. There is a component where we go, okay, now I'm going to live and I'm going to move and I'm going to act and I'm going to react as a person who's living an eternal reality, as a person who is in the faith. When the people of God react and act like everybody else in the world, that's a terrible, terrible day for the church. And that's a terrible, it has a terrible telling effect on the ungodly, because they look at that, at if they're looking at your life and there's nothing different about your life, there's nothing hopeful about your life, there's nothing energetic or passionate or excited and exciting about your life because of the glory of Christ and his presence and his plan, well, then you've lost out. You've lost your opportunity, or you've used your opportunity really poorly to present something that's not in Christ. And so I just want to challenge you that this mindfulness is a part of the passion that we have. It is a part of this personal responsibility. We have a personal need to be molded into the image of the Lord. We have a personal passion to be molded into the image of the Lord. I don't want to be molded by the world. I don't want to be pushed around by money or circumstances or situations or governments or any of these kind of things. I'm not talking about being a rebel. I'm talking about finding a source that is other than this world. And that being the reality of the eternal plan of God through Christ and his eternal will for our lives. And so when we get that in our minds, when we really become a part and partner in that, there is a shaping that begins to happen inside of our lives personally and then relationally. The personal is, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to know more of Christ. I want to live more in fellowship with him every day. Prayer isn't an obligational thing. I've got to run through the rosary and I've got to do my duty. It is a glorious living dialogue with the God of heaven, the God of heaven. We get to dialogue with the God of heaven. For heaven's sake, don't talk more than you listen. Really, don't. Well, here's how I see it. Right? Stay to listen to how he sees it, because I think that's going to make, well, I know in my life, it makes all the difference in the world. And so we are molded and shaped into the image of the Lord in this personal thing. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. So there's this personal component to this molding that happens, mm-hmm. that mindfulness of who we are and whose we are in the great, grand, big picture gives us this great, grand, big motivation to be fully in him, to be all about him. Mm-hmm. And to make the most of every opportunity right here and right now. And so not only is there a personal component, but there's a relational component to this as well, because my there and then is secure. I know what God has planned. I don't know every detail of it. I'm going to be discovering, just like you well said last week, I'm going to be discovering 10,000 years from now, you know, that he's like, I never knew he could do that. That's just spectacular. But the reality is that I know that I'm going to be with him and he's going to be with me. And it's a glorious, wonderful looking forward to that. But I also know that here and now, I have an opportunity. I live as a sighted person among the blind. Get the picture. You may be the only person at your job who can actually see the eternal realities of who God is, and you live among people who are blind to that. Don't you at least think you have a responsibility? Don't you feel some level of an urgency to somehow help them? They're going to walk off the cliff. They're going to get out and drive their car into the traffic. They're going to every decision they're gonna make is gonna be painful and harmful to them, and hopefully they luck out and survive. Or door number two, I could make a difference. I could step in. I could feel a sense of urgent obligation to them to begin to share with them. And I think this is the big motivation that we feel, because we are mindful of the Lord's coming and the eternal plan of God, but we are being molded more and more by that in our everyday world, in this present age, I believe is how it says it.
Right. And that, you know, that's what really Paul was saying that in Romans 12, he said, don't be conformed by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, which is a spiritual act of worship. There's this transformation that has to happen in us, where the things that have conformed us and molded us in this world now is being transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Because, and you touched on it already, and I want to reiterate where you talked about the molding. But the second part of that is the mirroring, where now your life reflects what's seen as the life of Jesus. Now, because you know that you're living for the there and then, that the here and now has got to be make sure that everyone is seeing Jesus. So more and more, when people look at me, I want them to see the character of Christ. So the fruit of the Spirit. So as you read, as Paul's talking about here, he says that we are to, you know, renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, but to live self-controlled. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Now our lives are lived in such a way that other people can come and receive of the character that is Christ in and through us. Now we're beginning to mirror. But the other beautiful part of that is that now, because you understand that we're waiting and looking forward to living with him, that Jesus said, don't store up for your treasures here on earth, where, you know, moths come and destroy and thieves steal and rust destroys. No, store up your treasures in heaven. Because when you're living for the there and then, part of that motivation is saying, my life that mirrors Christ is going to be greatly rewarded by the one that I'm reflecting. And if I'm going to go through this life just reflecting anybody else on this earth, that I may get in by the skin of my teeth. I may get in and all my works be burned up. But I'm not going to receive the rewards that your heavenly Father wants to lavish upon you. Not here and now, but the there and then. And when Jesus Christ, if we're going to mirror Jesus Christ, you got to understand that Jesus Christ left all the splendors of heaven. He literally left the true good life to come and walk amongst us. And so what are we willing to leave? What are we so, passionate based off of time and eternity that we're willing to leave what everybody else in the world says you're supposed to have in order to show that the great God of heaven wants to be in a relationship with others? When you make that transition, not only is, you know, Jesus lived, you know, you've talked about this a lot, 30 years, and there's really basically very little in scripture about that life. He's just living a life sinless before the God of heaven. It didn't have to be the limelight. And learning how to be self-controlled, until you're self-controlled, stay out of the limelight. And then when there's this development, when there's a character development in us, then we step forward. And now we begin to mirror in such a way that the gifts of the Spirit, are now you're beginning to mirror the power of Christ. Mm-hmm. And now you're going, okay, now listen, it's not about me, it's about him. And let's let you see how much the God of heaven loves you. And when you begin to mirror, here's what you're doing. You're saying, my life here and now is being lived in this present age. And there's a lot of problems in this present age. And we can get focused in and get caught up in those things if we're not careful. But when you live with a passion and an urgency, with it, which again is the emotional response to understanding time and eternity, you're going to look for every day, every moment with everyone an opportunity to share the character of Christ and to share the power of Christ. And here's the beauty of it. When the day comes and he's revealed and he brings the gifts, this has always been a big deal with me, because, you know, early in my life, in especially my working career life, I was a salesman. So it was always about the reward. So when Jesus began to open up the rewards that he has to give, I'm like, I'm about that. And you may think, well, that's awful subject. Well, we'll talk about that when you come and see the life that was lived through me, that I mirrored being Christ, is rewarded in heaven. And I really pray that it's the same for every person, because you, like us, live with an urgency and a passion, which is the emotional response to time and eternity. And so we're believing and praying that that is you in this present age.
Hey, thank you again for joining us. We hope that our time together has been a blessing to you. And it doesn't have to end there. If you want to find last week's sermon, you can go to Facebook, YouTube, or you can listen to us on the audio podcast. You can let us know if you'd like to be further connected in a life group. But let me go ahead and pray as we close and say, God, thank you for being with us, Lord God. Thank you for helping us to carry your words, Lord God, and change our lives, Lord. Help us to carry your love to those around us. And we thank you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and thank you for being a part. We hope to see you soon.